Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to a Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. Well, moving right along in the month, praise Yahweh. We're in the new month of October, and today is the 8th day of October, and we are all being blessed by the revelation of the Kinsman Redeemer. I'm telling you. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot to look forward to because the covenant contract promises that the Messiah spoke to a people designated, if you will, and delegated to be his people. You are my people, the fewest people upon the earth have I chosen that you may be called by my name. Well, Deuteronomy 28:10 says, and they shall see that you're called by my name. What? The faith, denomination, or religious persuasion do you know of that is called by his name? I'm talking about the true name. I'm not talking about some name that's been titled and slipped in unaware, falsely. I'm talking about the true name. What name would be capable of becoming a kinsman redeemer for Adam? You know, the Bible said that the earth was searched, the heavens were searched, and beneath the earth was searched. That's quite an extensive search. Why in the world was beneath the earth? Who lives down there? Well, Christ revealed to us that when he was crucified, he went and preached to the souls that were disobedient in the days of Noah that were held beneath the earth. And so there is a world down there that exists to hold the disobedient. It's like a holding tank. But there was a redeemed, a search for a redeemer anyway, was went out through the earth. And nobody found worthy. Now, I want to take you to Numbers chapter 5, part 2, the kinsman redeemer and the royal blood of Yahweh, showing you that Yahweh has a bloodline. It's real, flesh and blood. It's not a causative form of a mist that's floating around. We're real people. We have a heritage of kinship and kingship. Matter of fact, the Bible speaks about a crown that is laid up in the eternal heavens reserved for that very man that will wear it. Well, evidently, he knew your head size. Is your body waiting somewhere? Is there a spirit body waiting to take upon itself the spirit man that is now separated from it, remember, we're going to have to separate from the flesh and blood temple, because flesh and blood will not inherit. Although I told you that it has to be a mated body with the blood of the royal, the seed line, flowing in it. Yahweh does not have anything that's below kingship. I'm going to repeat that. Yahweh in the earth has a people that is kin to him through blood. He has no people below kingship, headship company. They all have the potential. We've been dumbed down, taught to believe in the things that we're less than what we are, so that we forsake or forego the power that was once delivered unto the saints. And the Bible said to earnestly contend for it. Yet everybody and the grandmother is living below the power potential of their ability to rise to the occasion to kingship, because you are from the king bloodline. Now you say, well, I'm not being treated like. Well, you know, you've been dumbed down. We have been made to believe we're less than what we are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and with your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. If we raised it up a level, took it to another level, remember this statement here, and remember it well. Your faith, which is impossible pleasing without it, will never rise above the level of your confession. So what you say is what you are, and what you get, and what you become. So it's very needful, purposeful, and powerful to confess who you are in reality. If you are a king's kid, a kingship child, then you need to perform in the arena of kingship. Numbers chapter 5, verse 8. It talks about a man or a woman now, in the fifth chapter, beginning at the fifth verse. And Yahweh spake to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or a woman shall commit any sin that men commit to do a trespass against Yahweh, that person shall be guilty. Remember, they that broke the law died without mercy. Then they shall confess their sin. The Bible said if we confess our sins, he's willing and just to forgive. Sin hidden, the Bible says that the soul of a man that hides his sin will not prosper. If they shall confess their sin which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof. Isn't that strange? Recompense the trespass, that's the sin. Remember, if he shall confess, and add it unto the fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed. In other words, he will exact one-fifth from the treasury assets of the person that's committed the trespass, of his tithes that are to be paid to the priest. One-fifth of that will go to that whom the person transgressed against. It's neat, ain't it? One-fifth of the part of the offering shall go to those who have been trespassed against. But here's the key. Here is the key of kinsman redeemer. Remember now, this crawls into the area, or projects into the area, of where man could no longer pay the debt of sin. It had to be redeemed by a powerful source of a rich individual that had the funds to make the exact payment for all of the sins of Jacob Israel exacted by the prosecuting attorney, Satan, who was the accuser of the brother, and the reason he was accusing was to exact the treasure of one-fifth part of the transgress. Isn't that strange? Satan's very crafty, isn't he? If you really examine him to actually who he is and what his purpose was in the earth. You know, the Bible said he'd come to kill you, steal you, and destroy you. Steal is the first item of the business. He'll take all the riches that you are entitled to of headship company and rob you, rip you off from them, and kill you in the process if it can, stress you out if it can, and it will, and make you the tail, and it will, if you forego the blessing covenant pact, and we've all sinned and transgressed and come short, and now we have a need of a redeemer, kinsman, savior, that will pay the exact, and remember now, man, the price of the one-fifth part of the treasury trove of the richest man in the universe, our kinsman redeemer, Yahshua, the kinsman, who sits in the heavens, now made atonement, an exact purchase payment, and covered you. Woo! Man, I get happy about that. Not only the sins of the past, the sins present, the sins future. All of these are taken, collected, and paid for, and cast into the sea of forgiveness, never to be remembered no more. Now, isn't that awesome? And you say you can't love a redeemer, kinsman redeemer, like that? Don't you know that you would do much more for him with owing him nothing than you would being charged with a principal sum of the exacting, and you had to pay the price? Even in areas where you couldn't pay, he extended beyond the reasonable sin and paid the debt covering of blood atonement by offering his own blood, paid the ultimate covering. And the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and he only sheds his blood for kinsmen. I don't care what you heard. Oh, God so loved the world that gave his only begotten son. If you look at the original text, that scripture's not in there. Why would he love something he told you not to love? Why would he charge you with the responsibility of loving something he can't love, never did love, and never will love? He don't love the world, neither the things of the world, and he that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him, proving that he don't love the world. That is a scripture that has been added to the original text, and if you look at some of the translations, they'll tell you that John 3:16 through, I believe, 21 is added to the text. It's alien to the original text. Well, why would they want to do something like that? To make you believe that he paid the exact treasury trove for everybody, not only for the kinsmen. They said, of you, of all people of the earth, I have chosen to wear my name. If you ain't in blood covenant family relationship, you don't have a kinsman redeemer. Well, what would you want to be redeemed for anyway? Because you don't have the promise of eternal life. You're just of the earth earthly. And as soon as your progeny runs out into the earth, it dies and it renews no more. The dead know nothing. It's unrenewable. They don't have a kinsman redeemer to exact the price that it takes to redeem him back to bloodline covenant. But if a man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass, here is the unique feature of the ultimate mystery. If you can see into this depth of mystery, and if you can comprehend the total kinsman impact upon your very being, if you can prove yourself kinship, you have a redeeming hope in the kinsman redeemer, because it says, if he have no kinsman to recompense the trespass unto him, let the trespass be recompensed unto Yahweh. Oh, the charge is laid on him. Here he's going to cover the deal here, folks. All of the sin of Adam, the blushing race, the Adamic blushing race, chosen from the Semite side of the three sons, the other two of servitude, because not all Israel is Israel. But all Israel shall be saved because of kinship, redeeming power. Isn't that wonderful, marvelous, joy unspeakable, and full of glory? I just get all charged up when I get into this relationship message of kinsmanship redeemer. I mean, it has a powerful impact on the psyche of man who has known the value, wealth, and the recompense, reward, and the price totally paid. I'm telling you, it makes me just marvel at the love of a kinship redeemer. that's got a specific headship company bloodline, exclusively to one for and about one people of headship company. You know what the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, that that's a misnomer? That there is no single deity that created in the beginning? And I done expounded to you that the very beginning of Genesis 1 verse 2, when the heavens and earth were created in darkness and total chaos, was, as a past tense, a form of a verb, of a causative form here, is a misnomer. It's not in the original text. That earth in Genesis age 1 and 2 became dark, void, and desolate in a fallen state. It became that way over a process of time. Yahweh creates an eternal light. And everything he does is good, not in darkness. He can't create in darkness because there's none in him. So then, the exclusive club of in the beginning God, if you'll take that first verse and change the word God and apply the proper Hebrew word, it's Elohim. Headship company. When the sons of Yah shouted for joy when the heavens were created, Job said. Let me repeat that verse. The sons of Yah, the literal flesh and blood offspring of these spirit beings from another planet world. Remember, we're strangers and pilgrims here. And this is crossing a traditional Christmas pagan Santa Claus Esther bonnet theology. I'm sorry. I don't make no apology for the wounding of a gospel. If I fail to bring blood, the woe's on me. If I bring it, you don't repent and have a kinsman redeemer to cover your sins. Falling in this world, yeah, I hope you fall in most miserable. So you got to study and come up to speed and get with the program of knowing what the essence of the very eternal spirit, headship company, Elohim, mighty ones, where they shouted for joy when the earth and the heavens were created. Before the world was, I am. Before I am was, I was. In the form of being who I was before the foundation of the world, I had to drop my kingship, my headship ability, because I didn't sin after the similitude of Adam, but I was began to be questionable whether I would remain loyal to the righteous cause of the eternal spirit, for Yahweh is a spirit, and the headship company know how to manipulate, if you will, use lawfully. Now, the Bible said if a man's going to be crowned, he has to strive lawfully. So to become a part of the eternal spirit in conjunction and union with the eternal spirit. And at final last, Yahweh decided to incarnate himself into a flesh body. Remember, he's this trespass here must be recompensed. And if there's nothing to recompense the trespass, then Yahweh himself must be charged with the penalty of payment. Ah, this is where the beauty of kinship, headship, redemption. Yahweh had to incarnate. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word was made flesh, the Word was there as a redemptive, the flesh man become the redemptive saving power by his blood. He is reconciled once and for all by one offering without spot or blemish, a total exact payment for all the sins of that not only Adam, but the angels who were headship, who must now take on flesh bodies like he did and incarnate into the earth. There's always a series of ministering spirits, both in the heavens and on the earth, who interact and conjunct together at the time, because the Bible says when much more need of grace when sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Remember, it was the ministering spirits from the eternal world of headship company that came and ministered to Christ when he was under the burden, the great onslaught of the penalty of the exact payment for the redemptive soul of eternal Adam and the angelic host, who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam, but now must be proven worthy to stand the test and run the race to wear the crown one more time. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna take it to you just like it's written in the tables of my heart. I'm going to exalt this gospel and tell you who you really are. Maybe you don't even know. Maybe you oppose yourself. Maybe you're in a traditional vein of carnality, and you can't figure out the great mystery of redemptive kinship. You are a star seed from above. I can't say it any more plain, any more direct, and any more blunt. You are, in essence, a stranger and a pilgrim here. You are an alien to this present world. You hate it. You despise it. You don't fit in. You're the square peg in the round hole. If you're one of those under my voice tonight and you're struggling for redemptive knowledge that is able to save you and transform your soul into a living being rather than a miserable hunk of fleshly junk that is walking in the barnyard as a chicken when you're the eagle kind. Oh my, let the scream of the mighty eagle that mounts up on the wings of glory may come across the barnyard of traditional chicken house mentalities. May exalt you into the high country to know that your name was on the Lamb's book, predestinated and chosen before the foundation of the world. And that in the final destiny plan of the giant genetic chessboard that was placed upon the earth, Satan and his crafty fallen ones up the ante when they made an unredeeming purchase price available through the law of transgression and recompense. They voided it out for the sons of Adam. Now let me repeat that. There was no, absolutely no, redemptive cleansing agent worthy to redeem Adam, the fallen race, and to bring him back into good standing before the prosecuting attorney, there to condemn him, there to try him, and there for him to fail repeatedly. Remember the Bible said the heaven was searched, the earth was searched, and beneath the earth was searched, and nobody found worthy to loose the seal of the revelation of the kinsman redeemer? And though it's written in the volume of book, Yahweh said, a body, thou hast prepared me. In the mind of the Creator, there was a body, a substitute sin offering body, perfect. Oh my heavens, how we should love our Messiah, how we should glorify him, how we should leap for joy, as a heart doth chase for the water brook, and upon finding it, the exclamation of joy unspeakable and full of glory when we find the redemptive power of who we are and acknowledge our kinsman redeemer worthy to exclude all sin in our life, past, present, and future, and give us an eternal hope not by works of man or the corrupt carnival redemption power of man, but of an eternal spirit ever existing without fault before the throne of God, the body of the risen Savior without fault before the throne of God day and night. And no wonder the angels, the ministering spirits, the saints that have done gone on to assume their headship company status in a body with a fit for a king, he's redeemed us by his blood. We are forever sanctified by one offering. No more sacrifice for any committable and unpardonable sin exists except for the kinship redeemer of a headship company of mighty ones. Yahweh himself being the final designation body to take upon himself the characteristics of Adam in flesh and blood, fall to this earth in the lowest possible form and humble surroundings in a place where there wasn't even room in a sanitary hospital for the woman to lay down and have a baby, as our spoiled Western women are in America today, spoiled, unthankful, unholy, letting their children succumb to the school ideology of the serpent race, to mix and mingle with all of the kinds and after kinds. It's the afterbirth of disgusting corruption and sin that we're having our children and our daughters and our sons to wallow in. And we go through star worship of idols of Hollywood, sports figures, molding and shaping the mentality to be a football star is in the mind of most of our young boys today. What an achievement to kick a filthy pigskin around and chase it and become idolized with the Greek-Roman mentality of the excitement of the carnal lust and the lure of the flesh when we lay dormant our understanding of collectible unity of communion of kinsman redeemer. Oh, yeah, we run down to the altar. We say a few shundies and hallelujahs. We jump up, sign the book, and say we're set forever. No understanding. Nothing coming from the bell box mentality. They will not preach the truth. They preach the tradition of man and the corruption. They will hold back the knowledge, won't go in themselves and hinder them that would from such turn away. Seek ye that made the consolation of Orion and the seven stars. Look up from which you are hewn and where you came from. Oh my, how I woke up when I was just a young man, 18 years of age, laying on a army bunk in Fort Eustis, Virginia. A little testament in my pocket, covered my head with a blanket to keep the other troops from seeing my humbleness. Submit to the word of God. Made a vow, Father, I'm alone. I'm with a company of over 500 men, and I feel like the Lone Ranger. I feel like I'm out of place. What am I doing here? Take me back to the hills of Tennessee, where I was accustomed to the caves and the sight of nature and the sound of love and a family that loved me. And here I am among the heathen teaching me to kill, to maim, learning things that my pure, innocent heart had never conceived. What am I doing here? Right now, tonight, Father, I feel so alone. And I read the 14th chapter of the book of St. John, the only loving comfort scripture that I ever had gotten in my prayer. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again. Oh, did he ever come for me? Just as soon as I pulled my 2 years stint in the Army, went in to make a career, couldn't wait the 2 years to end so I could get out, where I could pick up a Bible, which is exactly what I've done, which I went to the rivers and hills of Tennessee here. I laid in the caves in the mountains of Tennessee, where I was born and raised. I laid there and fasted for days on end and prayed to get a revelation and a hold on my spiritual journey. And the Father visited me in the midnight hours with visions and trance and dreams. And I loved them. They love me. We dug sweet counsel together. I went every Sunday, which is traditional. I hear the preacher preach hellfire and brimstone to those that shall not save. I give my heart at the age of 9. I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, not even realizing that I didn't even know what the name of the Father was. I went down and the preacher said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. About 15 to 16 years later, I went back and asked him, what name did he baptize me? And he said, I don't know. I just said, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, like Matthew 28:19 says. I said, the Father's got a name, and it's not Father. That's a title. I want a name. So I started another progressive search, grew into the name, and the name that I preached for 30 years, I loved, adored, and worshiped, the name of Jesus. And then I came to really know the Father's name. And from there, I got into the Father's name approximately 15 years ago. Preached on the radio. I've had friends and neighbors from all over the United States and foreign countries make my acquaintance as I taught them what I had been shown. You see, it's a progression of evolutionary steps to the kingdom. There are 7 steps. And I don't even believe we're close to the final step, home. But we've got to come up to speed real fast because the Bible said we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I intensified my search. I intensified my fasting. I intensified my praying until nobody would listen to me. I became a stranger. As Job said, my breath became even strange to my wife. Ladies and gentlemen, he'll separate you from the very core of tradition and the comfort that the world will offer you. Not only in tithes and offerings of fellowship when you gather around and preach to people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. He said, I'll give you your wants, I'll give you your needs. And what you need is not necessarily what you've been taught. It is a 180-degree direct turnaround when you get the total truth. The total package will turn you around, and the things that you used to love, you'll now hate, as vice versa, the things you used to hate, you'll now love. Oh, my, what a transformation when I began to keep company of them that was hated like I was. Then I felt right at home. The more I'm hated now, the more I can rejoice. The more I preach the gospel in Revelation covenant kinship form, the more the world turns against me. And yet a few, a chosen, a precious, anointed kinship company of mighty ones will bind together. Even more so as you see the day approaching, we'll begin to look up for our redemption draweth nigh. Amazing grace. No wonder this was written by a slave, a white Aryan slave that came from a country of the British Isles. He was deported to America. And across the sea, he was down in the Orwell, paddling the ship, when he began to hum a tune, Amazing Grace. I mean, just for the fact that he was going to a country where he could have religious freedom and grace. And just the thoughts of that inspired him to write that beautiful song, Amazing Grace. Oh, it is wonderful tonight, and joy unspeakable, and it's full of glory to have kinship. Listen to this, Numbers chapter 27. Did you know that the word kinsman, if you was to do a search on it, that you would be surprised at the minimal scriptures on kinship, and yet it's one of the greatest messages unfolding in the Bible in reality? Did you know the Bible said these things are written, just a few things that you might believe? But if all the things that were written that should have been written, even the world itself couldn't contain, and I believe right in this area of kinship, where Yahweh did not express for fear of revelating to the evil ones that it was a headship company of kinship people that would only enjoy the kingdom privileges and inherit from the foundation of what is laid up for them, for I have not seen and ear have not heard. If you've ever took one trip, I call it the jolly ships, if you've ever rode with the mighty ones, you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you're out of your head and your mind. Well, Ezekiel took a ride. He went up over Jerusalem. Yahweh revealed to him some covenant principles that is almost unthinkable to talk about. Elijah got on one of those timeless chariots that's mentioned in Psalm 68, verse 17. And he rode around the heavens, and it's quite a while before he ever come back. You say, I didn't know he'd come back. Well, he did. Yep. He made it back to earth, and he was incarnated into another body, a flesh and blood body, and his name was John the Baptist. Elijah, which was to come. No man has ascended into heaven, save he that came down out of heaven. If you go back to heaven, that means that you came from heaven. Your star seed, headship company of mighty ones following the divine plan, that no thieves and robbers are going to break through and get up there. If you ain't got on a garment, a wedding garment, that means you're going to have to be invited, and that means that you have to be one of those chosen ones before the foundation of the world, before you'll ever get back to headship company status and have the opportunity to wear the crown that's laid up for you. It's done fitted, it's unmeasured. You left that body, that eternal body. Now listen to me carefully. I'll take you to another depth and comprehension here. There is laid up for you a crown. And in that crown is a body in suspended animation. It's like his glorious body. It's laid up for you, waiting on you, for when you drop this physical body and you're through with your progression upon the earth, and everything is finished and everything is in order, your travel papers, then your soul takes its long flight back to the Father, back to the throne. His sons are his glory, now sharing his throne. He thought it not robbery to do that. You're welcome at any time at the master's table, if so be that you're a royal kinship, headship company. Only two going about, and that's the only ones that will get there. For I read you last night in 21:12 of Revelations that there's a city guarded. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what I mean by city guarded. There'll be no unauthorized entries into the kingdom. You will be checked for bloodline, kingship, headship status, whether you like it or not. You know that old saying, save of the blood? If they would go into the revelation of how that blood came and what it had the power to do, there would be more sung about the glory of the blood and less singing it, and more enjoying the revelation, because 90% of the Father's people who would enjoy the bloodline redemptive covenant don't have the information and understanding, because they're over in Carnalville with Babylon, being adulterers as they mix and mingle the blood and corrupt it through the intensification of the deceptiveness of the prosecuting attorney who was the accuser of the brother. My, how he hates to see you walk in there with your walking papers, your traveling papers. How he hates to lose one soul back to the Father and back to the throne, to headship. You know, the Bible says that you will be saints judging angels. You ever remember that scripture in the Bible? Do you take it for granted that it's just an illusionary factor and something to encourage you? Or is it an actual reality? Ladder, you will be headship company judging the fallen ones who have tormented you to hell and back. You know, just as soon as I got through preaching the 12-step covenant relationship of the fallen angels, I talked 12 hours on that. Many of it here on the Rock, 101.3 FM. I thought many of those here live, as I do all my messages. And Satan jumped down on my case, last Sunday night when I finished up the last message on WWCR around the world, the final message, when I taught that message and concluded the 12-step program of the fallen angels, Satan jumped on me like he's never jumped on me before. And he can't afflict. He can bring pain. He can bring sickness. And I've never had a sickness to last it long. I've had one similar to it 15 years ago when I preached the revelation of Genesis chapter 3. I did a series of messages on the fallen angels, and I was jumped on big time. After a 10-day fast, I was taken into the realm of temptation, and there Satan bombarded my body. I've always been healthy, never been in a hospital a day in my life to stay overnight. I've had some physical checkups, just in and out, and all the reports were good. I've been healthy for 70 years. The only two times I've ever been attacked from the spiritual world is by the messages on and revealing about the fallen angels who do not want the covering of their darkness and sin pulled back to take a good look at who caused all of this downfall and the trouble that is now here upon the earth in relationship to Kindred, Kinsman, Redeemer, Headship Company. I'm telling you, folks. By Sunday night, I mean, I was drunk as a dog could be. That was Sunday a week ago. And even now, the next Sunday, I was so weak when I did my live show Sunday night on WWCR, I was still so weak that I couldn't hardly hold my head up. I had to hold my hands and my head and prop it up. I was like Jacob. I was so sick. And so weary that I had to lean on my staff to worship. Man, I taught the message of determination, dedication, and devotion. And boy, I was put to the extreme ultimate test. You see, the Bible said you will be tested and tried. And Satan is like a roaring lion, as a roaring lion, but as a roaring lion. He's an imitator. You know, He's actually, when you rebuke him and find out his inventions and really get down to the bottom of it, you can solve the mystery if you'll hold on, pray. Yahweh will send the ministering spirits like he did when he was 40 days into the wilderness fasted, and then came the temptation. And then after the temptation came the ministering spirit. I worshiped at the Festival of Tabernacles, toddling like a drunk man, disoriented. My sensory perception balance was off. I couldn't walk hardly. And yet I survived to teach the messages that I went there to teach, and we baptized two wonderful men in the name of Yahweh for the remission of their sins, made them covenant redeemers, and they were ordained into the Melchizedek covenant on the altar of Yahweh in Andrews, North Carolina. What a great day. I felt the power. The anointing would come on me. And then after that, it would leave me when I would minister to the saints. I would get so powerful in my address to the assembly. I would feel the great anointing. And immediately after that, when I came back out of the spirit into the realm of flesh, I would have to be assisted and lean on my brothers to walk me to where I needed to go. But I kept on and I carried on. And, you know, the Bible said that spirit is an enforcing power. It is an encouraging power. Just in itself, when it's stirred up within the temple here, although the temple is fragile and sick and weak at times, well, when the spirit comes on you, you know that it changes you into a mighty man where you can cast out devils and heal the sick and bring revelations from the high country. It's marvelous. But there's a redeeming price behind it. All that redemption price, all of that price was hedged and put on one man's shoulders until the son is born. At this terrible price of this government, of theatrical government, theocratical government of Israel, corporate headship company, redeemed by the supreme vicar. The supreme prophet, if you will. The supreme being, Yahweh himself in a fresh body, making redemptive overtures to pay the ultimate price for Adam and his sons and redeem them in a blood covenant relationship back to the Father and back to the throne, making them worthy to approach without sin and to enter in boldly to the throne of grace. You may not be much, you may not feel like you're much. You need faith to think that you're really less than you are because you believe in the divine covenant plan, but lift up your head that hangs down. Raise your hands and rejoice. And all this, you're more than a conqueror. You are the epitome of grace with justification without works. Being chosen before the foundation of the world that you would be the performer of the faith. I remember faith without works today. You will display a spiritual aggressive nature against Satan and his tricks. You've got to speak out. You will speak out. You will declare. You are his witnesses. You will sing the marvelous song about my kinsman redeemer. Numbers 27:11. And if his father have no brethren, then he shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman that is next to him of his family, of his family. I want you to remember that tomorrow night. I'm going to show you why that I'm on this scripture. And if his father have no brethren, isn't that the story of Abimelech in the book of Ruth? And that he needed a kinsman, near kinsman redeemer that was rich enough to redeem his possessions and his blood of his family? And you tell me that Christ was a Jew? When this bloodline, particular bloodline, is speaking exclusively for and about the bloodline of Joseph Ephraim. Now, this is where the monkey wrench gets thrown into Christ was a Jew theory. Christ was not no more a Jew than perhaps you are if you're Israel. You see, there's two houses, one of Judah and one of Israel. The kinsman redeemer had two to be able to redeem all of the fallen ones of both houses and reconcile the differences, which he said he would do. The key of David was laid upon his shoulder, and unto us a son is born. This was a redemptive bloodline of Yahweh Shua himself in a flesh body made visible, manifest, and for 33 years, which is a code word of the key of a master code numbers. We've thought about that in the master headship company redeemer. That he redeemed us from our fallen state and lifted us back in with his blood covering. Oh my, I can't wait to get into the book of Ruth. This is where Pastor Buddy rises up to the occasion and takes on all challengers that believe that Christ was a Jew, that he was from the descendant bloodline of Judah. When I've got a $5,000 reward for anybody that can prove that Christ was from the tribe of Judah, Peter, James, and John, Paul, Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, none of this was from the tribe of Judah. None of them. None of them were Jews. And yet we believe that Christ was a Jew, and yet from the bloodline progeny of the faith-redeeming kinship ability that he must have to redeem us, he had to be from the birthright tribe. Oh my, I can shout hallelujah. No wonder I can offer $5,000 reward and have been doing it for the last 15 years, no takers. You think some of these great theologians that preaches that Jesus is a Jew would call me up and chit-chat with me. A lot of them would like to. But what's the Bible say? The Word, powerful, spoken with knowledge and confidence, is sharper than a two-edged sword and a break of bone. I'm telling you, the Word hurts to those who are against the Word. To those that are for the Word is a rejoicing segment of revelation because we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge and saved by the abundance of it. The more you got, the more it saves you. The more it gives you confidence. I'm telling you, folks, this is powerful stuff. And it is bone-breaking with tradition. I mean, it'll break a bone of tradition quick. These pastors, these shepherds, these blind shepherds, these pastors of other churches will not call me up. Come on, give me a call. You know, I know you're listening. I hope you're learning. I hope you'll come out of her, my people, of Babylon and the traditional veil of tradition of Babylon, where you're nothing more than growing up to be a baby, Babylon, B-A-B-Y-L-O-N. Notice how they give us code words to enslave us? Well, first we're a baby, and then we'll become a kid. A K-I-D. You know what a kid is? A goat. So, we're a baby, and then we'll grow up to become a kid. Then after that, we'll grow up to become adulters. We really slaughter the word, those that use it properly. The nouns and the verbs in proper context. The name of Yahweh is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. Proverbs 18:10. The name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. And you'll get in that name. You'll say Yah before you leave here, or you won't leave here to go see Yah. When you say Hallelujah, you're going to know what you said, and Yahweh is going to know what you said. And you better say what you mean and mean what you say. And you better get with a program before you leave here, because as a tree falls, so shall it lie. And if you fail to enter into his rest, and his name is the resting source of revelation. It begins with a name. You got to get in his name. You got to use his name. You got to promote his name. You got to be called by the family name. Ephesians 3:15. Call by his name. The whole family in heaven and earth is in that name. Figure out what the name is, and you've got half the mystery solved, and then you're just getting into the good stuff. Man, there's tons and tons of revelations laying for you. I've got over 50 years of compact revelations of things that I've seen tried, tested, and proven. And yet I may just lay one little nugget in a message of an hour and cover it good so that the devil won't get it, but the sheep will, because they'll go back and glean it. As Ruth gleaned the treasure fields searching for the precious wheat, she found the kinsman by gleaning. You'll find the truth by gleaning. You'll find the revelation by gleaning from the word, by prayerful study, insight, and direction and purpose. You will study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, my time, I just melted on down. I've been here for 1 hour, and it seems like 10 minutes. If you've listened to the message, I hope and trust that you've been blessed by it. And if I've been blessed, you will have a question or two. If you have any questions tonight, you can simply do this. Write Pastor Buddy. I'd like to get a letter from you. Somebody that's listened to me on 100.3 tonight. You're listening, your heart's all clear. Your spirit's encouraged. You have faith. You're one of the seed of Yah. You feel like a stranger in Tucker. If I've measured a measure to your heart, wherever you may be listening to me on computer download, if you have received a measure of faith, that will provoke you to move in a positive vein to search out these great mysteries. Write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, I'm here, I'm live, 8th day of October. Tomorrow night we'll be doing part three. This is part two of the Royal Blood of Yah. Part three will be coming up tomorrow night. So tune in. We'll take you to another level of understanding as we trace the Kinsman Redeemer Headship Company, the regulations of the law of the Word of Yah, how to redeem through kinship, and who only has the credentials to do so. It must be a family member, bloodline related, must be very close. Nothing out of the blood can't do it. So it had to be within the bloodline of the redeeming host that had someone to redeem that sin. Remember, if there's no living example of flesh and blood of Adam to redeem, then Yahweh himself is charged with the sin. That's what it said. Well, our sins and iniquities fell upon him. And he bared it down to the torture stake. It wasn't a cross, it was a tree. They impaled him on a dogwood tree. It wasn't way up in the sky and glorified like the passion. Just a little small dogwood, spindly dogwood. that blossoms out in the symbol of the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. Dog representing those that were separated from the Commonwealth of Israel and didn't have a kinsman redeemer to redeem them back to the covenant. Oh my, hallelujah, I feel the joy of the Eternal One. And you can call Pastor Buddy at 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to email me tonight, that's Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, 1. The numeral 1. Buddy 1 at CenturyTel, C-E-N-T-U-R-Y-T-E-L, CenturyTel.net. That's Buddy 1, CenturyTel.net. Drop me a line on the computer. Call me on the telephone. Write me a letter. And let me hear from you. You know, if you're there, why don't you make connection? You may learn something, be blessed by it. We have tons of information, videos, audios, that we could mail to you. We got to know where you're at, what your needs are, what your level of faith is. If you're a mighty one, if you're an eternal one, if you're headship company, you want the whole story. You ain't gonna ask me to pull back or draw back. If I can measure your faith and it's little, then I've got to feed you like I feed a little lamb. If I sense that you're a meat eater, I can lay the meat on the table and you won't choke on it. So the discernment is on this end. You'll have to call me to make me aware of your needs. And if you do so, I believe you'll be blessed. Now, like I say, if you'd like to listen in tomorrow night on The Rock 100.3, we're bringing it on strong in the great state of Utah. And we're headship company, uplinked into the satellite system and going around the world wherever you have a computer download. You can pass this on. Tell them about microbroadcasters.com. Tell them to hook up and join on great programming, Patriot Vision, up to date, what's going on in the election, what's going to happen, what's bound to happen in the United States of America. Is there going to be a wake-up call before the end? Maybe it even has to be. If Jacob don't raise and awake and rise to the occasion, there's not going to be anything left for the Messiah and the angels that are coming back to redeem to come back to. But you can bet your bottom dollar. They know the right hour and the day to make their entrance. So let's look up for the redemption draw of nine and get ready to join the happy throne. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we go off with the remainder of our song down here in the southern hills of Tennessee, Yahweh bless you out there.
And the peace of the